And I'm not sure which truck they're advertising. I was trying to rack in my brain. I searched it on Google. I couldn't find it. But there's a commercial where there's four guys in a truck. And they're driving... What is it? Is it Chevy? It has to be. It could be. Well, they're driving as deep into the wilderness as they possibly can. And they got one of the guys has their phone out. And what they're trying to do is to go as deep into the wilderness as they can until they reach a point where there's no phone signal. Is it Chevy? A lot of shakes of the heads. Okay, there you are. Well, I was just intrigued by that. This commercial almost seems the absolute opposite of the Verizon. You know, the Verizon, can you hear me now? Ads. And I was thinking, as people of faith, living in this world of ours of ceaseless information. In fact, all I have to do is mention a commercial, and you know Chevy. This world of ours of instant gratification, this world of ours of just this stimulus overload. I suspect we could use an experience like those guys in the truck. You know, I suspect we could use every now and then an experience in the wilderness where we have no phone signal, where the computer's turned off, where the television's off, where there's nothing to distract us, where we're not busy, and we can listen. Listen for the voice of God. I suspect it would be wonderful to have that experience where we're not so distracted and diverted by those things of lesser importance. Important, maybe, but lesser important. That we might actually pay attention to what's really important. You know, I suspect it would be helpful to have that experience where we don't immediately satisfy what we think we're hungry for, that we dare to ask those difficult questions. What does my heart really long for? Really? Well, the Christian version of the Chevy commercial of driving deep into the wilderness is the season of Lent. And it's meant to parallel the 40 days of Jesus being in the wilderness. And I need to be honest, it's supposed to be uncomfortable and difficult. Not as a form of punishment. Sometimes we approach this like, oh, God's trying to punish me. I got to give up chocolate as God's punishment. Desmond Tutu said, God does not desire to punish us, but to set us free from the prison of ourselves, that we might be restored to our true identity as the sons and daughters of God. So it's supposed to be uncomfortable. Those who are willing to take this 40-day spiritual hike into the wilderness will be lashed by the wind, will be baked by the sun, will be tempted more than you even realize to give up and give in to security and safety. Are you uncomfortable as you enter this season of Lent? Henry David Thoreau said, I entered the woods that I might live deliberately, that I might front the essential facts of life, that I might see what is there to teach me, so that when I get to the point of dying, I will not have discovered that I really haven't lived at all. Lent is that season, that opportunity, that invitation to go into the wilderness, to see what it has to teach us, to discover how the story of our lives might reflect what it means to live fully as God's beloved sons and daughters of God. Why did you get up this morning? I love that question. I ask it a lot. You've heard me ask this question before. Why did you get up this morning? This is the participation part. Any ideas? I had to. My alarm went off. It's what I normally do at 7 a.m., 6 a.m., 8 a.m. It's a habit. Why did you get up? Go to church, thank you. And I'm so glad you did. Can you imagine getting up in the morning? Can you imagine getting up in the morning with a renewed sense of purpose? Maybe discovering for the first time, maybe discovering again a passion. You know, a really sense of reason for being. You know, a sense of love that is so real that you can't wait to get up in the morning to live into the heart of that love. Can you imagine? You know, somebody said life is 80% why and 20% what. That the person who has a why can bear almost any what or how. The person who has a why, do you have that why, that reason for getting up? Well, as we mentioned, Lent is, the season of Lent is really about getting ready for Easter. Getting ready for the joy of resurrection. You know, it seems to me so often that we're in such a hurry sometimes to get to the Easter lilies and the joy of the resurrection morning that we forget that resurrection follows dying. Are we willing to die to our false self? So that our true self, the life of God within us, might rise up unencumbered. So Easter is the big day, and Lent is really about preparing us, taking and daring and being brave enough to take that 40-day spiritual hike into the wilderness, following the footsteps of Jesus, traveling with Jesus on the way to the cross. Stopping every now and then, like now, to ponder how his story intersects with our story. I'd like to look again at the Gospel of Mark and the way the Gospel of Mark begins to tell the story of Jesus. And the Gospel of Mark, Mark's in a hurry. Mark is really in a hurry. In fact, Mark is the shortest of all of the Gospels by almost a half. In fact, if you have never read the Bible, if the Bible's not your thing and you wondered how do I enter into the Bible, Mark is a great way to begin because it's really short. And Mark is in a hurry. And for example, a great Lent discipline, I really encourage you, read the Gospel of Mark every week until Easter and see what is there to teach you. What you have to learn. And the Gospel of Mark is regarded as the oldest of the Gospels. In fact, most scholars suggest that Matthew and Luke cheated. They copied, that they used Mark as their primary resource for the story they told. So if we look at the Gospel of Mark, one of the things that's obvious to me is God, he's just in a hurry. You know, Mark doesn't waste a whole lot of time. He gets kind of right to the point. He doesn't kind of pause or linger over very much long. He kind of just gets right after it. And in fact, the way he begins telling the beginning of the story of Jesus of Nazareth, you know, he packs. Look how much he packs into a few sentences. I mean, Mark says that Jesus was baptized by John. And that the heavens tore open and a dove descended, or the Spirit descended a little like a dove. I mean, what an incredible contrast. You got the heavens tearing open and a Spirit coming down a little like a dove. And it says that Jesus heard this voice, "This is my Son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." And then it says the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness, where he stayed for 40 days, tempted by Satan, hung out with some wild beasts, was accompanied by angels. And when he emerged from the wilderness, he was a new man. When he emerged from the wilderness, this remarkable 3-year campaign of teaching and healing and reconciling and unconditional love and saving grace commences. So let's look a little bit about this Spirit that Mark talks about. It says the Spirit descended. And Mark seems to imply that no one saw the Spirit but Jesus. That it was personal. It wasn't something for public display. This wasn't a big concert. This wasn't, you know, a congregational gathering. It implies that Jesus, this was an experience he needed. This was his experience. The voice, "This is my Son." Mark seems to imply that Jesus is the only one who heard the voice. So in other words, what Mark is trying to describe here is Jesus is having an overwhelming experience of God's affirmation and God's love in that moment. But then it says the Spirit, that same Spirit, drives him into the wilderness. Whoa. Doesn't say it gently led him. It doesn't say it suggested. It says the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. In fact, one translation says the Spirit threw him out into the wilderness. Thrust him into the wilderness. Well, that's kind of a different image of the Spirit of God that sometimes we're comfortable with. You know, the Spirit of God that's calming and reassuring and comforting. In fact, even sometimes we use the word comforter to describe the Spirit. This says, right after Jesus had that incredible experience of affirmation of his God-given identity and his sense of worth, that the Spirit discomforted him. That the Spirit kind of turned everything upside down. That the Spirit kind of rearranged all of the spiritual furniture. That the Spirit set him on a different path. That the Spirit put him smack dab in the middle of the wilderness. And what we need to realize is that the wilderness is as much a spiritual place as a physical place. And it seems to me there's something really important about being uncomfortable when it comes to our faith. There is something really important about being picked up and pulled out from our ruts and our routines and our habits and kind of just thrust into being uncomfortable. I have a trainer. I go to a gym down the street called Living Strength. Highly recommended. Amazing people. Jason is my trainer. He's crazy. He is nuts. His whole concept of training is figuring out what my point of failure is. Because he says, that's when the work begins. The whole concept is, everything you did, all of the exercising you did, to the point of failure, is just preparation. It's failure where he's kind of helping you a little bit. It's those 3 reps right after failure where you develop the most. It's not comfortable. In fact, I've never experienced such discomfort in my life. There's something really important in our lives about being uncomfortable. In your own Lenten journey, In what way are you intentional about being uncomfortable? Donald Miller, an author I love, who wrote Blue Like Jazz and A Million Miles in a Thousand Years, loved that book. He says, every great story has conflicts. Conflicts that pull the characters out of their ruts, their routines. And the story takes a turn, usually a surprising turn. M. Scott Peck said, when your life is most confused, when your life is most overwhelmed, when you are at your most uncomfortable, that is also when you're most likely to be transformed. He says that when you're at your most uncomfortable is when you come face to face with the hard, hard truth that you can't save yourself. And it's then that you begin to look for different ways, truer answers, a wisdom and a strength beyond yourself. When I think of the season of Lent, I think of an outward bound wilderness camp. And have you ever been on one of those or been out camping in harsh kind of conditions? I mean, Lent is like an outward bound wilderness camp for the soul. You know, you don't have to do it if you don't want to. But if you sign up for one of these, it's like you give up all control of your life. You place your life in the hands of strangers who have you do idiotic things like going backwards over a cliff with a thin rope kind of around your waist while they tell you to trust. But that's not the real test, because there's people around and there's lunch in the cooler at the bottom. The real test on one of these experiences is what's called the solo wilderness experience, where they pick you up and they thrust you into the middle of nowhere by yourself, with no luxuries. The first thing you need to decide is, what will you bring? Because everything you bring, you carry. You take care of. So all of a sudden, those things that you thought were necessities become discarded baggage. And you begin to ask yourself, when you're out in the middle of nowhere, because that's when you discover who you really are. How comfortable are you with silence? Those thoughts and those feelings that you've been trying to outrun, they'll catch up to you. And when you're out there in the middle of nowhere, you're likely to encounter some wild beasts of your own. Do you dare to face them? Or will you pack up and run away and search for safety? And how will you know the difference when you're out there by yourself? How will you discern the difference between Satan's voice and the angel's voice? Because sometimes it's hard to tell. And the whole point is that you emerge from this wilderness experience having learned what was there to teach you. And you learn that when you come to that point of dying, you discover what it really means to live as beloved sons and daughters of God. So let me ask you, what will be your spiritual hike this Lent? Where right now in your life are you uncomfortable? Where right now are you being stretched beyond where you feel safe? What does a 40-day spiritual hike into the wilderness, what does that look like for you? You know, maybe all it means for you is to shut off the computer, shut off the television, turn off the phone, and get a journal. Believe it or not, they work. Like pens and stuff. You know, you don't need a keyboard. In fact, what's amazing about a journal is it slows you down. It slows you down. And maybe it's just spending time every day writing in a journal, daring to ask yourself those questions, old and new, that you've been running away from. Maybe it's asking yourself the question, why did you get up this morning? What are you here for? Maybe the spiritual wilderness, the hike into the wilderness for you, just simply means a fast on technology for an hour a day and feast on silence. Maybe it means inconveniencing yourself, setting aside everything and making a commitment to attend Wednesdays at noon, supper in silence. You know, maybe it's putting yourself in positions that are uncomfortable, like volunteering at the common table, or family kitchen, or friends with Jesus. Placing yourself purposefully in the path of those who are different than you are. But not having the attitude that, aren't I good this Lent? I'm serving. Instead, have the attitude, they're my teacher. What am I to learn? What are they to teach me? Because here's the hard truth. You ready for the hard truth? If you do what you've always done, you get what you've always got. Maybe the Spirit is driving you to something more. Because really, the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness and the temptation we face every single day is just simply the temptation to be less than the people we were created to be. Jesus emerged from the wilderness a new man. He emerged from the wilderness with a renewed vision, a clarity of why he was getting up in the morning, propelled by a love stronger than anything, any challenge he would face, even the cross. And the path was clear. Not easy, hardly, but clear. May it be so for us as well.